Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello.
Today we're talking about NXT. This is the NXT edition of the podcast, if you couldn't tell by the people talking on it. And we're going to be talking about a brand new tag team that debuted on this week's NXT. Killer Kross finally being revealed as the architect of editing vignettes. And also some of the changes that have happened because TakeOver Tampa Bay isn't happening anymore. Here's the show. It was a really weird show of NXT this week, as has been most of WWE recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, matches did happen, and that is an important fact to take into account, is the fact that we actually got quite a lot of matches on this week's show, not many of which lasted more than about 3 minutes, but, you know, you take what you can get in these troubled times. One of the main matches that happened on this week's NXT was Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong. I like the fact that on the commentary, they had reasons why Matt Riddle couldn't be joined by his co-tag team champion, Broserweight's mate, Bruiserweight Pete Dunne. They were like, he's got family to deal with, so he's flown back to the UK, we're assuming, to be with his family while the coronavirus stuff is going on. Not so much for Roderick Strong. Adam Cole is pretending he's on vacation. Roddy just comes out alone. It's like the Undisputed Era is now the isolation era. It's Roddy on his own. That's all it is. But at the end of this match, and it was actually a pretty damn good match for a show where everything else was basically squashes. At the end of this match, Riddle wins, picking up he gets a Bro Derek off sort of a weird... Roderick Strong seems to do a cartwheel and gets caught in a Bro Derek.
Yeah, I don't know. Just doing a shout out to the War Raiders. Like, yeah. Oh, I'll do some cartwheels.
Props to you guys, Hansen, or whatever you're called now.
Ivar,
that's it. Mm-hmm. Ivar, don't care. So then he's, as he's celebrating, two huge guys jump him from behind and start beating him down. They hit basically all of the authors of Payne's old moves, essentially. Big splash in the corner. I know, big boot. It's big guy stuff. But they look pretty dominant. They smashed Riddle down. And then Malcolm Bivens comes out to introduce himself and semi-introduce us to the new tag team. They're not named. Bivens says that basically he wanted to take this opportunity while Pete Dunne was away to come out and introduce Riddle to the future of the NXT tag division. Peter. Yeah. Who are these lads?
So apparently, according to the internet, these two lads are called Rinku Singh and Saurav Gurja. Probably butchered both of those names, but that's okay. And yeah, being managed by Malcolm Bivens, aka Stokely Hathaway, beforehand. And yeah, like you said, they came in and just did a bunch of big lad move stuff. There was, you know, the backbreaker going into the stump kind of thing off the corner. There was big splashes and them going, etc. They did look pretty cool. I'm okay with it. Like you said, the first thing that came to mind was the Authors of Pain, because to me that's just the obvious comparison. Two big lads who do big, bulky, big, beefy moves. Mm-hmm. Beef lads, big. They did a lot of that. And then he said this is going to be the new tag team in the NXT tag team division. For me, I think this was probably supposed to happen after TakeOver. They were probably supposed to debut after the NXT Tag Team Championship match, but they've just moved it forwards now that TakeOver is not happening, which we'll be talking about in a little bit about TakeOver not happening and the ramifications of that. But I think they looked pretty cool. It's nice to have a new tag team in the division because we actually got a few different teasers of new teams through this episode as well. Obviously, you had Lorcan and Birch taking on Shane Thorne and the other lad that I always forget his name.
Oh, I've got it written down.
Vink, isn't it?
Brendan Vink.
That's it. Yeah.
The smiling Australian knobhead. it's like a walking Foster's advert. He's like literally those guys like, hooroo. He's got a punchable face.
Yes. Which is brilliant.
Which is brilliant for who he's being.
Really good. Yeah. So we had that tag team, Thorne and Vink, who were on Raw as well, going up against Lorcan and Birch. And then you had Roddy Strong, obviously Undisputed Era, and the Broserweights. And now you've got this new tag team here as well. It's starting to become a bit more of a fleshed out division now because it was a bit stale for quite a long time when Era were champions. So I'm happy to see these guys here. I don't really know their capabilities. I've not seen them wrestle elsewhere. They seem like very much kind of performance center bred guys. But I think we've already mentioned it twice. The immediate comparison is with the Authors of Pain. And I think the Authors of Pain started out as being kind of like, oh, these guys are a bit green. They don't really know what they're doing too much. But by the end of their run in NXT, they were great. They were fantastic. When they became NXT Tag Team Champions, they were just running roughshod across the whole division. And we were all like, yes, please do more of it. So I think they could be really good. And obviously Stokely Hathaway, Malcolm Bivens, is a great mouthpiece in general. So I'm hoping that he can kind of bring them to that next level. Kind of he's the Paul Ellering of this situation. So he'll probably get thrown to the side as soon as they go to the main roster.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing, isn't it? Because it's like when you had Paul Ellering in the Authors of Pain, I feel like they, as a unit, had a look and a vibe. And I feel like Malcolm Bivens and these guys don't necessarily gel in that way. And I feel like we've also literally just had the Robert Stone brand. And this feels like another version of that happening weeks down the line. It's in the men's division. Big whoop. Like I was kind of assuming the Robert Stone brand was going to accumulate other women and other men on the roster and become this like bigger force. But then now we've got Malcolm Bivens also sort of running a crew of people. And I wonder if they're going to do the same thing where he starts to accumulate it and it becomes faction war down the line between Bivens and Stone. And it's they're doing like Apple versus PC or something. I'm a Bivens, and
there's only one way to solve this war game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, be great. I think that's totally possible. But yeah, it does seem very similar to have a lad in a suit trying to recruit people, and then another lad in a suit comes out to be like, "These are my guys." Yeah, it's not great to
it's
have that.
Well,
to have two back to back, it's not ideal. So.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, and I think like I don't necessarily think this section made impact, and it's difficult to really judge that because of the lack of audience and the lack of reaction. You know, like Io Shirai coming back, not having the pop of the crowd for seeing Io Shirai. I was like, "Whoa, Io Shirai's back!" But it still kind of lessens it because the drama isn't there, and there's only so much on commentary you can go. Oh my god! Like people don't want to absolutely lose it in an empty room.
Or I believe in the words of Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton, it was, no way, yes way, it's Io Shirai.
I miss Mauro. he'd be able to put that across pretty well.
I want Nigel McGuinness back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All the plans have seemingly changed, and we should probably move on to talking about those changing plans because NXT TakeOver Tampa Bay, it's not happening anymore, is it?
Nope, that's a big nope.
Yeah, WrestleMania has been moved to two nights, Saturday and Sunday next week. And basically, they've announced that the TakeOver Tampa Bay matches are going to be happening on regularly scheduled NXT programming on USA. So they had that hold week last week where they hyped all those matches. And now they're happening in a really diminished form on TV. Brilliant. So from this show alone, we got a bit more of a lockdown on kind of what's happening. So we got...
Lockdown intended?
Not really, but we got more of a... Okay, we're more locked in on... I'm locked in.
I've been
locked
in. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think it matters, Pete. We're all in the same boat. So we got a bit more of a sort of an idea of what's going to happen. We've got the announcement that Keith Lee is going to be taking on Dominik Dijakovic and Damian Priest, as was assumed, next week for the North American title. This is after a section where Keith Lee comes out to make it known that he should apologize to Dominik Dijakovic for spirit bombing him the other week after Damian Priest attacked him, and he all got confused and he was like, "Who did that? It was you." Does the power bomb. Then Priest comes out with a nightstick, tries to get involved. Keith Lee and Dominik fight over who's going to get to beat up Priest. Dijak hits a huge dive off the ropes into the palm. Yep, and he stands tall at the end. So that match is on the cards. Johnny and Ciampa basically sign on the dotted line for a match in 2 weeks' time in a slightly weird section, I thought.
I wasn't a huge fan of this segment. I'm super into seeing the match, and I really like that they're just going to be like, right, it's just you two, a referee, and a ring. Go at it, because that's almost like a throwback to the first kind of Johnny Ciampa match, not in the Cruiserweight Classic, but after they'd split up as DIY, when it was an unsanctioned match. It was kind of a similar vibe to that, which I'm a big fan of. Wasn't a huge fan of Triple H being their dad and being just like, hey, guys, so you've been fighting, so we're just going to have to solve this this way. Triple H.
I'm no longer the game, I'm the mediation.
Yeah, it seemed really weird to me that Triple H was just kind of overseeing them and being like, you come in that ring and you will not touch him because I said so. You go sit in the naughty corner.
Don't touch me. I like Johnny being the antagonist, like, don't touch me.
Yes, yeah. I really like Johnny in this. Yeah. It just came off really weird when Triple H was demeaning them down. It was weird.
And I think also like the sort of padding of the section of things like in wrestling, that's not how matches are made. Like normally, like what would have happened before is probably at the end of their brawl, Regal would have rushed in and gone, oh no, it's very naughty of you, going to have a match in 3 weeks' time and sort it all out once and for all. But here it really felt like they were in therapy with Triple H as dad. And he was like, look, guys, I'm going to give you a match. When do you want it? When do you want to have a match? Like 2 weeks? What's it? 1 week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? And it felt like a really odd negotiation to have. Like, you don't see this aspect of wrestling very often where people actually discuss what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And so it was really weird to see this side of things. And then, he's going like, what, when do you want to do it? And Johnny's like, oh, I don't know, 2 weeks. Maybe they'll be ready by then. It's like, what?
It's so weird.
But it also makes me think, because Triple H was like, I'll find a building. I'll give you a referee. And a ring, and we'll see what's happening. So I wonder if there's going to be some twist to this formula here. Like, is the ring going to be somewhere really weird to finish this feud in? Like, what feels like, because this is it now. Like, they've kind of bigged up the idea that this is the end of the feud in the fact that, like, if they touch each other, they're both out of NXT. Once this match is done, there'll be a winner decided and they can coexist in NXT going forward. Triple H even says, like, you've both said that it's not big enough for both of you. I think it is. You're both going to be here, but if you ever pick up this feud again, you're out.
That was another thing that I really didn't like about this. It was Triple H just being like, oh, you guys and your bloody feud, you've made us so much money, how dare you? Like, it was really like playing down that they shouldn't be feuding. I was like, why? This is like the best feud in NXT history. Why are you running it down like they should stop fighting? It was weird. I didn't
you guys,
I didn't get
shouldn't
it,
but... do the wrestling.
Just do the wrestling. You just stop wrestling, please.
All we've been trying to do is a friendship club here for years, and you guys have been ruining it.
We'll come on to this bit now, and then we'll go through kind of the rest of the changes on the card, just because this kind of fits in with what we're talking about. But the segment ended with a vignette of Killer Kross, what had been speculated to be Killer Kross for weeks. Now, this was actually confirmed, because Killer Kross was actually in the vignette that played at the end. It was the three of them, Triple H, Johnny, and Ciampa, just standing in the ring, then be like, it's 2 weeks, blah, 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 match made. And then this vignette just starts playing on the Tron, and they all turn around and watch it. It's more same of the apocalyptic imagery like we've been seeing before, but thrown into that was kind of images of Killer Kross flashing up here, there, and everywhere. TikTok coming up, and then the final shot is just like the minute hand on a clock just turning to 12, and then it just cuts to black, and that's the end of the episode.
The doomsday clock reaches midnight.
Exactly, yes. So I think, with this stipulation that he's going to go to a location with a ring, I think it's going to get kind of the more cinematic vibe to it. It's not just going to be them filming a match. It's going to be a cinematic thing. And I think that's going to allow them to do something with Killer Kross in that match. I think he's going to come in and maybe interrupt it or disrupt it or something like that. But they'll make it look like this epic, apocalyptic, huge thing with Killer Kross, with all these special effects and stuff going on with it. So I think that's how they're going to get out of not having the feud end between the two and having Killer Kross immediately inserted into the main event. So they can still do the Johnny Ciampa final blow-off match when there's actually a crowd and a big takeover stage rather than on an episode of NXT. But they're going to shift forward Killer Kross's debut to interrupt. That would be my theory anyway.
Yeah, and I imagine they probably have him injure one of them. He'd injure one of them and then start beef with the other one until whichever one goes out injured comes back, and then they can sort of do this rotation. I wonder in this scenario as well whether he's going to be an agent of Triple H.
Ooh.
Because one interesting thing is obviously Triple H has been heavily involved in a lot of the WWE programming recently. He basically did a whole SmackDown on his own, from the camera work to the editing to the to the in-ring announcing. And he's done this. He's now appeared on NXT as well. And obviously, like, this is them trying to use his star power, I guess, to prop up the company, and also the fact that he has to be there anyway. So he might as well be used as an on-screen talent in this regard. But then it makes me wonder whether, like, they might, to bolster the brand for the next however long they're going to be locked down for, however long they can't really run live shows, which is going to be longer than I think even the lockdown runs for, of people being asked to stay at home. Like, even when we're allowed to go out again, huge public gatherings might still be limited. So there's that idea that, you know, you could start to use Triple H as a proper on-screen guy with Killer Cross as his in-ring agent. I wonder. I just think that might be something they look into doing.
I don't know if I want to see Triple H as an authority figure again, especially not as a heel one.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge fan of that, especially when they already have such a good authority figure in William Regal, who's just kind of there and makes matches, and he doesn't really insert himself in too many ways. I really like that kind of dynamic they have, so I wouldn't want them to change that. And I would think that this segment on this show would have been with Regal if they could have had him there.
True.
So I think Triple H was just kind of the de facto Regal for this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not as into that. I don't think. I just want Killer Croft to kind of come in and just be awesome and just go on a rampage by himself, because he's a untamed SOB or whatever. He's just kind of a huge destructive force and disrupts the whole balance of NXT and all that stuff. That, I think that would be much more enticing.
With his videos of what outside's like now that we haven't been there for a week.
Crazy.
That's what his vignettes are. It's just a glimpse into the future. It's all buzzards and tumbleweeds. abandoned Tescos.
Yeah, it seems quite on the nose now. Apocalyptic imagery. It's like, that's a bit touchy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank God it's not Dean Ambrose doing his You've All Got Germs thing from a year ago.
God, or yeah. Coming out with a gas mask. Yeah. Jesus. Getting shots from the dirty, disgusting people. Yeah, terrible.
I'm just saying WWE's got foresight. They know what's happening.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's like The Simpsons. They predict everything. Mm-hmm. So that was the ending segment. But some of the other changes we've got, we had more people confirmed for the women's ladder match, the number one contendership ladder match. That's also happening in 2 weeks in the same episode as the Gargano Ciampa one. We've got 5 people confirmed for it now, which is... Oh, bear with me. We've got Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. We've got Candice LeRae. We've got Chelsea Green, Tegan Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't remember. I
can Google someone. Google it. Fill for
I'll
time.
I'll Google it. Fill for time, Pete.
Yes. Googling. But the sixth person is actually going to be decided by all of the losers from the qualifying matches. So it's going to be all the people that have lost. So people like Shotzi Blackheart, Dakota Kai, Caden Carter that we saw in this episode, Aaliyah is also there. They're all going to be in a gauntlet match next week to determine the sixth spot, which would be cool. And then they are going to still have the full-blown ladder match. Is it Mia Yim? Is she in it?
It's Mia
Yim. Yeah, good. I got it. That's going to be the last qualifying spot will be determined next week in a gauntlet match, and then they're still doing the full-blown ladder match in the episode in 2 weeks' time. So I feel like the episode in 2 weeks' time is kind of going to be the big NXT episode with this big ladder match and with the Gargano Ciampa stuff. That's going to be an episode to look out for, I think. And then you have stuff next week being the last qualifying match, and you've got the Triple Threat North American title match. So we've got all of these kind of matches dispersed here, there, and everywhere, but it does look like the tag team championship match has just been disbanded because you can't have Pete Dunne, who's one of your champions.
You can say Riddle's injured as well now, probably.
Yeah, you can do lots of things with that. Are they going to have to vacate the straps because, you know, defending for 30 days, that rule that they like to bring up sometimes and not?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't think anyone would care at this exact moment.
No, exactly.
They're also not really doing a hell of a lot of proper wrestling on the wrestling shows. So,
yeah, that's
kind
it.
Of. I think you know. I think what's interesting about the new setup of having NXT now sort of bookending Mania weekend in the fact that we're going to have some of the matches that were going to be at Tampa Bay next week, and we're going to have some the week after. It means that for one of the first times ever, NXT's big matches are essentially going to main event the week of WrestleMania in that sense. Like, we're going to have already had SmackDown, we're going to have had Raw, and then we're going to have the big matches from NXT going on Wednesday. So that means, like, if we get an Adam Cole match or we get Ciampa versus Gargano, and that's really big, that's going to be the lasting memory that people have. It's not going to be like, you know, ruined by Roman Reigns retiring The Undertaker or whatever happens at other WrestleManias. You know, like, it's actually going to be like NXT gets to sort of cap the week off. So that's quite interesting. I think that'll be quite a novel thing for hardcore NXT fans to experience.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it'll be cool to have it as its own thing, to not be overshadowed by Mania the day after. Mm. And I think kind of that's generally the theme they want to go for with having takeovers not joined to a big WWE show from now on as well, when they started doing it at Portland as well. So I think they do want NXT to stand on its own two legs a bit more.
Yeah.
And this is actually going to help it, I think, a little bit in that sense, which would be really cool.
I think it's really odd, though, not to move those matches onto the WrestleMania card. To move, like, some of them definitely should have just got bumped straight into WrestleMania. I think when you said we're going to do a two-nighter and reduce the crews and stuff, they could have just done Ciampa and Gargano at Mania. It's true. Could do, you know, if Adam Cole's not self-isolating, they could do Adam Cole. But it seems like
Delta it's isolating,
to be fair. Yeah, but like you should put some of those matches on the Mania card now, like rather than just, and obviously that takes away a little bit of the prestige of the women's title being defended there.
Mm.
But I think that would have been a better choice, to give things that little feeling of prestige rather than just being like, well, we're just back on TV again, are we?
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that because obviously there's no crowd, all the matches are being worked pretty damn safely for the most part. So like it's gone back to that feeling that a lot of like the old weekly NXT used to have, where because people were performing three or four times a night in the tapings, just on different episodes, like 90% of the matches were squash matches, and then you would get your big, like at the end of the night they'd do their big finale match with somebody, because then they can obviously go back and recover, I guess.
Yeah.
And that feels like that's kind of what's happening here. Everyone's doing quite hit a few moves, do a few big spots, but nothing crazy is happening. When NXT on TV, you know, like think back to 2 weeks ago at the Performance Center, when that was more of a booking, a scheduling issue that led them out of Full Sail and had to be at the Performance Center for that fans night. How crazy that was. And that Ciampa Gargano section where they smashed up the whole backstage and they jumped off of the crow's nest and stuff. Like, none of that's even featured in NXT.
Yeah.
It's just, and obviously like more power to them for making the right choices and reducing the crew and doing things safely and like taking the burden off medical workers, I guess, because you don't want to be injured now, do you? And we have to go to the hospital. So like it all makes sense. It just makes for a very strange product to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming on these bigger shows and the big matches, they're still going to kind of pull out the stops as they should really do for a big, like, you know, six woman ladder match and for the end, quote unquote, of Gargano and Ciampa, and for a big triple threat match for the North American title. You'd think these are still going to be pretty big matches, but I think the rest of them, they just kind of go, please don't get injured. It's the last thing we need right now. Please be safe.
Man, it must be so hard to G yourself up for going through, like being powerbombed onto a ladder or fall off the top of one with no crowd making any noise whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, that would be...
like all the respect in the world when these spots are going to, like if these spots are going to happen, because it must be so hard to get that adrenaline pumping to be like, yeah, okay, cool, I'm ready for this now.
Yeah, without a crowd to be like, yes, please do this.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't die. Yeah. Please don't die.
Please don't die.
Cool, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. We'll quickly go through what else happened on this show, because there were tons of matches and they did not last very long. It started off with Tyler Breeze versus Austin Theory, which was set up a few weeks ago when they had their little tete-a-tete at the Performance Center. And surprisingly for this one, well, for me anyway, Tyler Breeze got the win.
I didn't really get that.
Yeah, Austin Theory got a bit too cocky for this one. He was saying, I'm the future, you're the past, pretty much repeatedly throughout the match. And then he went to get Tyler Breeze's phone, started taking a video with it and just being like, just wanted you to have this on your phone because I'm the future, you're the past, aren't I great? And then Tyler Breeze hit the beauty shot and won. So I like the story they're telling of Austin Theory being too cocky. So I'm thinking that maybe they might have another match a few weeks down the line and Austin Theory will get the win, but this time he'll be a lot more serious. He won't be so cocky, and that would be like a development of character for him, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, this is the injection of character that I think he needed, right? Like, you know, he's had showcased matches already with Ciampa and a few other people, and this is the first time he's really, I feel like, stepped out as like, what, even just sort of picking a lane to be like, you know, I'm at least this side of the heel face divide. You know, I'm a not really a heel, but I'm cocky and a bit ruthless, and I'm willing to show you that I think I'm better than you. And that leads you to go like, oh, I kind of get who he is now. Before, he was just a very good wrestler who named all of his things space things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at least now he has a character.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had a quick match between Killian Dane and the debuting Tahuti Miles.
Tahuti Miles, very interesting character. He's a former US Army vet. He wore camo dungarees and, oh, he's dead. He's dead now. So
yeah, he died.
Well, oh, well, that's a shame.
It was weird to me. He seemed very kind of Velveteen Dream-esque, like early Dream, because he had like very similar kind of glasses. When he went in the ring, he did like the spinning thing with his arms out that Dream does. And then he was being all like, you know, touching his face and being all like, oh, I'm pretty. And it's like, that really reminds me of like early Velveteen Dream. It's, it was a strange, weird like comparison, but hey ho, he didn't last very long. Killian Dane murdered him.
He was trying to be fast, and he wasn't fast enough.
He was not fast enough. After that, we had Cameron Grimes versus Tony Nese in what was a fine match. Cameron Grimes hit the cave-in from out of nowhere and got the win, which was cool. We had the Xia Li versus Aaliyah qualification match. Xia Li was attacked backstage. Probably Aaliyah did it.
Because they didn't make enough of Aaliyah telling the referee to be like, well, she can't come out. I win. De facto, I win. And then they were like, oh, we're just getting word that someone else is cleared to compete. And it's Io Shirai. But maybe it was Io Shirai. I don't know.
Maybe it was Io Shirai.
It's likely to have been Aaliyah, but it doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah.
Apart from saying,
I don't know.
Beef in the ladder match, I guess. Like, a way of taking those two out of the ladder match is sort of baked in now because Xia Li and Aaliyah can fight over, sorry, in the gauntlet match, Xia Li and Aaliyah can sort of fight over.
That
gives a little bit of heat to that showdown.
Yeah. Shirai came back. She was working face, I want to say. Maybe just because she was against Aaliyah. I don't know if this is supposed to be like a face turn for her. She's like, oh, she's been away for a while. She was injured. She's back. And now she's really cool again. I don't know.
I think she just destroyed her too quickly to really get a sense, right? Like it was just complete destruction and over. She was still like babbling when she got on the turnbuckle at the end. She was like raving and shouting stuff. So I feel like she's still the same Io Shirai. We just don't know.
I hope so.
Yet. Yeah, I think I think they were very happy with that character, so they'll stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. We got a very quick Dexter Lumis vignette of him. It was just shots of him, and then it was like, he has eyes. Okay.
What you couldn't see was all the sort of plastic sheeting in the room behind him and the cleanup stuff, the body's already in the bags.
We had the Keith Lee segment that we mentioned earlier. We had Birch and Larkin versus Thorn and Vink, and Birch and Larkin got the win with dual submissions, which I thought was cool. Candice LeRae and Caden Carter. LeRae won with the Gargano Escape. Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong, which Riddle won and the new team debuted. And then we had the Gargano and Ciampa and Triple H segment to end the show. I'm happy that there's wrestling on it.
Yeah.
It's better than last week, put it that way. I like the fact that they are, in fact, wrestling now. Even if the matches are short, even if they're safe, it's much better than just having video packages to hype up their matches. And I'm really looking forward to the next couple of weeks because I think some of these big matches are going to be really, really, really bloody good. I'm perfectly content with this episode.
Yeah, it is just a shame, isn't it, that we were on the cusp of like the biggest event of the year and all of this has happened. But I think they are making the best with what they're given and doing a really, really good job. And there were some, you know, the two longer matches here, Austin Theory and Tyler Breeze and Riddle and Strong, were really, really fun and really good. Mm-hmm. And everyone else came out and did their big flashy moves, which, to be fair, was what they were doing before they went live on USA. So is there really much complaining to do? Because it's basically gone back to being old style NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So what more do you want?
So, Laurie, I have an email here from Nick, who's emailed in with the WrestleMania replays, because WWE have offered up the free network exclusive stuff during this time. Mm-hmm. He was saying, hey, Pete and co-host. That's you. You are co-host now. he says, I was watching Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, so I'm assuming the WrestleMania 31, and Charlotte versus Asuka, assuming from WrestleMania 34. Was watching the replays during the show because I didn't have the WWE Network when they originally aired, but I couldn't help but be sad by how much they've ruined Asuka and Bray since. In your opinion, does showing these matches just show WWE's incompetence over the past couple years, or is it an attempt to show these people in important matches in the past to increase their credibility now? Thanks for the consistency, Nick from Wisconsin.
Well, I don't think it necessarily shows incompetence, because what they're trying to do with, but I think these were good choices for matches, because obviously this shows Charlotte being dominant against the most dominant women's champion in NXT history. Asuka completely undefeated at the time. Well, undefeated completely at the time. Was this her first
undefeated
loss
completely.
Ever?
That was her first loss, yeah.
In WWE. So like that makes a lot of sense to have her lose that match and to show that match there. Obviously it wasn't great for Asuka, and it was a mishandling of Asuka probably at the time, because I think she would have been a really hot person to put the title on.
Totally.
Especially when they didn't, like, you know, especially when they also did the same thing with Shinsuke, and it's like one of the two like and in terms of the Bray Wyatt stuff, I think what's good, like, obviously that I think that really was a mishandling of Bray Wyatt at the time.
Totally.
But again, showing it now, you know, I think John Cena really is the architect of his downfall, Bray Wyatt. Like the inability to beat John Cena at any point in the history of their feud, and including using the entire Wyatt family, really did ruin things for Bray. But what's so good about Bray's current character is that really matters. And
yeah,
so hopefully,
exactly,
they,
yeah.
And you know, like John Cena himself has said that he was the one who pushed for Wyatt to pin him in the Elimination Chamber and win the title. John Cena here, I think, is likely to let Bray go over.
I hope so, yeah.
You know, like, I don't think he was lying when he said he came back because he wants to put other stars front and center. And then when he nods and has that match, he says he's going to have that match with Bray, I think he's going to take a knee and let Bray have it. And I think that makes sense for the Fiend's character as well. This is him mm-hmm. getting his momentum back, him getting his steam. He's back on the story that Bray always wanted to tell with the character, which is one of redemption.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or revenge, and I guess.
The reports coming out of it is that match in particular is going to be a very movie-like cinematic experience, mm-hmm. and that apparently it's Bray's baby first and foremost, which makes sense. And also, apparently, Cena is really, like, championing Bray's ideas and being like, let's please do what Bray wants to do mm-hmm. For that match. So
he wants to recreate Playing with Fire, John Cena's finest movie.
So you'd assume that would include Cena losing, mm-hmm. right? That would hopefully be.
I'd book me to win if I was booking the matches.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, totally true. We have another email here from Adam with several different topics. I'll read out like a section in each podcast because mm-hmm. that's a lot of different segments. But we've got a tale of random people two-sweeting you on the street. That's a fun thing that happens. I believe Datsun and I spoke about this on a podcast a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, email from Adam says, you spoke about this a few weeks back, but the segment never really took off, but I wanted to share my stories anyway. I've been on both sides of a random in-public two-sweeting. I was at a paintballing event for a friend's Bucks Day. What's a Bucks Day?
Birthday, spelled wrong.
Possibly.
Or is B-U-C-K. It, oh, is it like a stag it's, thing? Is
that oh, stag thing? Totally, it might be, maybe. The field we went to had full body protection, full face shields and camo bodysuits. Unless you really knew the people you were there with, you couldn't recognize your friends. We were paired up with a few other groups for the day and had a lot of fun. Going into the last field, we were all pretty hot and tired, and people were trying to get the team amped up. And someone said to his friends, "Okay, boys, this last field is going to be too sweet." And threw up the hand signal. I thought, yeah, I'll get in on that, and joined the group too sweet. As I was walking away, I heard one of them say, "Wait, who was that guy?" I laughed, and then we lost. It's a great story. Thanks, Adam. He's got one more here, actually. I'll read this quick. On the other side of things, back in 2018, I was spending the week in Las Vegas. One night, I went out wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt. For those who haven't been there, the Vegas Strip has people in front of every club and every street corner trying to convince you to enter the club or to tell you about how you can get someone to go jogging with you, come directly to your room in less than 30 minutes. They are obnoxious, relentless, and everywhere. Sweet. I'd been walking... Oh, yeah.
Too
great.
Sweet.
Too sweet, yeah. I'd been walking the strip for a little while when all of a sudden one of these guys just jumped out in front of me, and I thought he was just super pushy until he threw up the too sweet in front of me. I returned it. He just yelled, yeah, at me before he went back into his spruiking? Sure. It was weird, he says. Those are his random tales. He'll get more to us soon. Thank you very much for the email, Adam. That's great.
I've never randomly too sweeted anyone.
No, I haven't too sweeted
Simon Longdon do it. Housemate Simon did it at Glastonbury Festival because he saw someone amazing wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt. But he talked about doing it for about 5 minutes before he did it, being like, I'm going to go too great sweet that guy. And I was like, well, go on then. And he was like, yeah, cool. I'm going to go too sweet.
I'm going to go do it.
Just go.
Yeah, I've wanted to when I've seen people wearing like either, you know, Finn Balor t-shirts or Bullet Club t-shirts. I've wanted to, but I've just been like, nah, what if it's like their partners and they don't really know? What if they're just wearing it without knowing the significance of the t-shirt? I don't want to look like an idiot.
There's so not a lot of click t-shirts out there, are there? That's why.
No, exactly.
You're going to just do it for the click.
Or do it for the clicks. If you filmed it and then put it online, it would be for the clicks. What a great pun, me. Thanks, me. Anyway, yeah, it sounds great. I'll read out more of your email in a future podcast, Adam, probably for the SmackDown one. Yeah, thank you very much for that. And I believe that's probably all the time we've got for the podcast.
Thanks very much for listening, everybody. You will be furnished with more podcasting from us. I think the AEW one will probably be out before this one. You're going to get Friday show that just chats the normal nonsense of the Friday
show. And I'm going to be on it this time.
Pete's doing that one.
Yeah.
We've got the SmackDown review on Saturday, and then it all starts again on Tuesday.
Well, we've actually got as well, we're releasing a special WrestleTalk extra podcast into the podcast feed every Monday. I don't know which one is coming this Monday, but it's going to be an extra special deep dive during these times of isolation and lockdown. If you've got some time on your hands, you can listen to a 3-hour deep dive of Ollie and Luke reviewing an old pay-per-view. It's going to be good.
Well, yeah, please do look out for that and listen to all the other, look out for it with your ears. You're a listener. You're a podcast listener. Listen with your ears. We love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.